Last couple of days, I've been looking at Romans chapter 5. I want to wrap this up this morning as we're looking, we've been looking at Romans chapter 5, verses 3 and 4. And I want to read just a couple of verses, get a running start on this, and start off from the King James Version. And actually, we'll start in verse number 3. It says, "And not only us, but we glory in tribulations, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of Christ is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given to us." So that's verses 3, 4, and 5 of Romans chapter 5. Now, we looked 2 days ago at verse number 3 and just talked about, you know, when you read that in the Amplified Bible, it says, "Moreover, let us also be in full joy now." And we just talked about how you can have joy now. In spite of the circumstances, you can still operate in joy. I know it seems counterintuitive, and I know it seems like, well, wait a minute, that'd be hypocrite. Well, you can go back and listen to the podcast of that. We talked about that, how you can live in joy. Yesterday, we looked at the rest of that verse, and into verse number 4. In the Amplified, it says, verses 3 and 4, "Moreover, let us also be full of joy now. Let us exalt and triumph in our troubles, rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that pressure and affliction and hardship produce patience and unswerving endurance." Okay, I guess that's all we looked at. That was verse number 3. And we just talked about how, you know, even in those times of trouble, you know, Paul's saying, you know, don't look ahead towards the end and expect the worst. He's saying you can be in joy now, because if you know the Lord and you know His promises and you know His faithfulness, then you know that you're already an overcomer. He's already established the victory for you. So you can walk through all those difficult times. You can walk through the pressures, the afflictions, the hardships. And what it does, you can walk through it in joy, and that produces in you patience. So you can walk through it not stressed, not anxious, not overwhelmed, not stooped over from the burden of the situation, the circumstances, and carrying that, but just walking through with joy and with peace, because even though you can't see it with your natural eyes, you can see in faith that the end of the matter is where the promises are going to be fulfilled. And if you keep walking, He'll get you there. So it builds up your patience. You patiently walk through it. And that patience produces in us that unswerving endurance. And that's where I'm going to pick up at today and then look at verse number 4. So if patience builds in us the unswerving endurance, verse number 4 says, "And endurance, fortitude," or fortitude, "and endurance," or fortitude, "develops maturity of character," character being approved faith and tried integrity. "And character of this sort produces the habit of joyful and confident hope of eternal salvation." So you can see how this is all tying back together. Do you see that in these three verses, or actually just two verses? Do you see it starts with joy and it ends in joy? And all through it, it's talking about the trials and the tribulations of life. But it begins with talking about the joy, and it ends in talking about the joy. This is the constant that we should have. It doesn't matter where you're at. What are you worried about today? What are you stressing over? What are you anxious about? You can choose not to be anxious. You can choose to walk in that joy that is already in you. It's already in there. You just have to bring it out. So it starts with joy, it ends with joy, and the whole thing is talking about tribulation. Well, again, that's counterintuitive to us. We live our lives that with stress, with troubles, with difficulties, we get stressed, we get anxious, we get fearful, we get filled with doubt. We become overwhelmed. Have you ever seen people? I saw someone just 2 weeks ago that was so burdened by the circumstances of their life that their physical body, it was amazing, their physical body was hunched over, their face was literally scrunched, eyes closed, face scrunched in just agony, hand on the face, almost trying to hide from the problems. It was amazing what the physical body demonstrated and showed that was going on inside. And then the same individual, not more than 2 hours later, infused with the hope that comes from the Word of God, infused with the knowledge and the evidence of the love of God for that individual specifically, all of a sudden was walking, standing totally erect, not hunched over, face no longer screwed closed, eyes pinched, hand to the head in hiding and in agony, head bowed, none of that. Now, walking erect, face totally placid, at peace, and even in joy. Talking, where originally there was no conversation or minimal conversation. Minimal. Now talking with great animation and joy and hope. And all this transformation took place in really less than 2 hours. Now, we may not live our lives where our body demonstrates to that degree the anxiety and the stress that we're carrying and the burden that it becomes to us that actually causes us to hunch over. But it's still having that effect on us to some degree or another. But this is why Paul is saying you can have that joy. Because if you look towards not the problem, not the situation, not the circumstances, but look towards the one who created you, who loved you, and who gave everything that he had, including his life and his blood, so that you might become a joint heir. Again, we're looking at Romans chapter 5. If you just go three more chapters ahead, you're going to see Paul still talking to the Romans and talking about us being joint heirs with Jesus Christ. So this is Paul realizing our position with Jesus, where it's at, and telling the Romans and telling us today that it doesn't matter what your circumstances are. You don't have to be burdened. You don't have to be hunched over with the burden carrying the weight of your troubles and your anxieties and your fears. You don't have to be that way. You can walk through your situations. You can walk through your difficulties. You can walk through your troubles, and you can do so standing erect with your face totally placid and at peace. And in fact, your face and your voice actually speaking in tones of joy and peace. This is the way you can be. I watched that transformation. I watched that transformation in a microcosm of time. It only took 2 hours. Less than 2 hours. And it doesn't have to take even that long for you. It's the choice that you have to make. Are you going to choose to believe the circumstances? And I'm not saying that your circumstances aren't real. They are. But are you going to believe that that's the final word? That that's the final outcome? That this is the determined, finished conclusion of the situation? Or are you going to choose to believe that Jesus Christ, who is the creator of all things, who loved you so much that he gave his very life, he gave his blood for you, he rose again so that you could be a joint heir with him, so that you could enjoy the same things, that you could have access to what he's already established for you, which is victory and overcoming victory in and through everything in this natural world. He loves you so much, he gave you that, and he gave you the position to be right there with him, to have the same rights to those victories as he has. If you look at your problems through that lens, you can say, I am at peace. And this is why Paul is saying that in verses 3 and 4, even though these verses are talking about trouble, it starts with joy and it ends with joy. You can have joy all the way through. It's what you choose. Do you choose to believe his word and his promises? Do you choose to operate in the joy that's already in you? Or do you choose to instead accept and bring into yourself the anxiety, the stress, and all the things that come with living in the natural world? These are the things of the enemy. These are not the things of God for you. The things of God is the joy and the peace. This is what he has for you. This is what he's established for you. If you're walking in the anxiety and the peace, then you're walking not in the gifts of God that he's given freely and paid a high price to make sure that he procured for you. You're not walking in those gifts. Instead, you're walking in the things that the enemy of your soul has for you. To be beaten down, to be worn down, to be discouraged, anxious, fearful. So at the end of verse number 3, saying that as you learn to look towards the end of the matter and the promises of God and not looking at your current situation, you can walk. You can walk through it. You can walk through it with peace. You can walk through it with joy until you get to that end. Then you just procure the joy. You can walk because you know it's yours, whether or not you see it or whether or not you experience it. You know it's yours and you're coming into it. So you can be at peace. And that builds up patience. And it means you learn to be patient. You don't yield to what you see in the circumstances, but instead you learn to be patient because you know that you're victorious. Whether you see it in your experience right now, whether it's manifested right now in the natural realm, is totally irrelevant. You know that it's yours, and so you can be patient for that. And as you learn that patience, and you learn to be in joy in that patience, you will then develop that unswerving endurance. If you can start today by saying, I've got this situation, this problem, which is causing me to be anxious, it's beating me down, it's becoming a burden on me, but I'm going to choose to not allow it to be a burden. I'm going to choose to look ahead. I'm not going to look at the problem. I'm going to look and know that Jesus Christ paid a high price, the ultimate price, because of his love for me, that I could be a joint heir with him and I could walk in all that he has for me. And because he did that, I'm not going to look at what's taking place. I'm going to look at what I know to be true. I can't see it, but I know that I'm an overcomer and I know he's provided victory for me. So I'm going to keep walking through the situation. I'm going to do so with joy, that joy that's in me. I'm going to express that joy because I know what the end of the matter holds for me, and it's victory. And as you learn to be patient and walk through those situations with that mindset, that attitude, and that decision, that choice made by you, you're going to learn the next time you see problems, the next time life brings up problems, you're going to learn to be unswerving in your endurance so you can keep walking towards those promises, the goals that God has for you, the promises that he has for you, the promises for good things, the promises for victory and for deliverance. The Israelites in the wilderness, they kept circling around and around and around. If they had just gone forward with that kind of unswerving endurance, it was 11 days from the mount where they got the word of God given to them in the tablets until the promised land was an 11-day journey. 11 days. They wandered around 40 years circling around in the wilderness rather than making the decision to move forward and to take possession of the promises that God had for them. It's the same thing for you and I today. God has promises for us. Now, we can wander around in the wilderness, circling around in the wilderness, and never getting to the goal, or we can make the determination that, you know what, I'm not going to keep on circling. I'm not going to continue to be in this wilderness where there's nothing. The wilderness is the desert. There's nothing there for you except hardship and discomfort. Your situation that you're faced with, that which is causing you anxiety today, is part of your wilderness. It's giving you nothing but dryness, barrenness, discomfort, and struggle. But don't keep circling around in that. Look ahead and see, well, wait a minute. God has a promised land. All my needs are met in the promised land. God had provided everything they needed for them already. They just had to go possess it. It took faith to do it, but that's all they had to do was go possess it. Make the determination to look towards the end of the matter, the promised land, and go possess those things. Stop circling around. You can do the same thing today. Whatever you're burdened by, stop circling around. Stop dwelling in it. Stop. When you're circling around, you're dwelling on it. You're focusing on the problem. Your eyes are on the problem, so you keep going in circles and circles and circles around the same problem. Take your eyes off the problem and look ahead towards, wait a minute, there's a promised land. Wait a minute, Jesus has answers for me. Wait a minute, he's already possessed for me all the answers. That's where I'm going to go. And when you do that, and you do that with the joy coming out, it builds up that patience in you so that the next time you're in that wilderness area, you can see, wait a minute, I'm not going to circle around here. I'm going to the promises of God. I'm going to the promised land. I'm going to go possess that which he's prepared and given to me. And you can do it. You can do it unswerving. You can get to the point, if you can learn this simple lesson, you can get to the point where you don't have to spend any time at all circling around in the wilderness focused on your problems. Because this word is saying that you can get unswerving endurance. In other words, okay, see the problem? Walking through it. Walking through it, heading right towards the promised land. Heading right towards his promises. I'm going to walk right through that whirlwind. I'm going to walk right through that desert experience. I'm going to walk right through the problems and the circumstances, keep on going, have that joy, because I've learned to be patient in hard times. When I can't see the answer, I've learned to be patient, knowing that my answer is when I keep going forward in faith and in joy. And I'll go forward and I'll possess it. And you can be unswerving. You don't want to swerve, because anytime you swerve or deviate, it just lengthens the time until you walk into the promised land. I want to get there as quick as I can, don't you? Do you want to spend any more time in the trials and troubles than you have to? I don't. You don't either. So the more you learn to be patient, the more you learn, the more you're trained to be able to be unswerving in your endurance. It means you're not burdened down by the problems and the troubles of life that are afflicting you. You're moving through that, and you're going right to the promised land. So he says it produces these things. When you walk through these things, you walk through the hardships and the troubles and the tribulations and the trials. You walk through them, and you walk through them with that joy of the Lord because you're looking towards the promises. It says it produces in you patience, and that patience gives you that unswerving endurance. But then it goes on to verse number 4 and say, and that endurance that you've learned, that endurance develops other things, which we will look at tomorrow. We'll get to verse 4. We'll start at verse 4 tomorrow. But you can think about this. This is what verse 4 says. Given everything we just said today, this morning, think about this between now and tomorrow. Think about this. Once you've learned to be patient and you've been trained to have that unswerving endurance, it says in the Amplified Bible, and endurance, that fortitude, that ability to keep moving forward, develops the maturity of character. Character is that approved faith and tried integrity. This is something that most of us have not developed yet. We've not developed that kind of Christ-like character. And then character of this sort produces the habit of joyful and confident hope of eternal salvation. And eternal salvation is talking about all the eternal things. It's not just talking about your life in the future eternally with Him. That's a part of it. But it's talking about all the things of eternity, which are promises which Jesus says are for you today as well.